All right, so today we're going on a deep dive into a fascinating story from the Bible. It's about the Gibeonites, a Canaanite group, who actually managed to not only survive the Israelite conquests, but they became part of the Israelite community like 1,000 years later.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It really is. And we're using Dr. David Howard's lecture series on the book of Joshua as our guide for this.
Okay.
And trust me, it is a fascinating story.
Yeah. One of the things that's really striking about this story is how it highlights the power of reputation in the ancient world, especially in warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Israelites had just achieved these massive victories like at Jericho and Ai.
Right, right.
And so their reputation as this unstoppable force, really, it had spread like wildfire throughout the region.
Oh, absolutely. Word travels fast, especially when it's about victory or defeat.
Yeah.
But the Gibeonites, instead of like facing the Israelites head on, they decided to try a different tactic. They came up with this really clever plan.
They did. They put on these worn out clothes and they brought moldy bread with them. And they claimed to have traveled from this really distant land.
So they were basically putting on an elaborate performance to exploit a loophole in Israelite law.
They were. And it was a very specific loophole.
Okay, what was the loophole?
So you see, the Israelites were commanded by God to destroy all the Canaanite cities within the Promised Land.
Yeah.
The land that God had given them.
Right.
But they were allowed to make treaties with cities that were outside of this land.
Okay.
So the Gibeonites, seeing this, they basically pretended to be from a far-off land to avoid being destroyed.
That's incredible. Talk about thinking on your feet, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But how did they even know about this law in the first place?
Well, that's a great question. It's not entirely clear how they knew about this.
Yeah.
We can only speculate.
Yeah.
But it's clear that they were like well-informed. They were very shrewd.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
About Israelite laws and customs, which, you know, shows a certain level of awareness on their part.
It really does. And it speaks to their desperation. They were facing potential annihilation.
Right.
And they chose a path. Well, I mean, it was a deceitful path.
Yeah.
But it was a path they thought would ensure their survival.
Yeah. And initially, their plan actually worked.
Yeah.
You know, the Israelites, they saw these seemingly weary travelers. They heard their story, you know.
Yeah.
And they just made a peace treaty with them without even consulting God first.
And this is where things start to get really interesting, right? Because
yeah.
This seems like one of the few times where Joshua, you know, the Israelite leader,
right,
acted impulsively, right?
Yeah.
He didn't really seek divine guidance here.
No.
Which is,
he relied on appearances.
Yeah.
A convincing story.
Right.
Rather than seeking wisdom from God.
Yeah.
And that had some pretty significant consequences.
Oh, I bet. Okay, so what happened? What were the consequences?
So once the Israelites realized that they had been tricked, they discovered the deception.
Mm-hmm.
They still felt obligated to honor their oath. Mm-hmm. You know, oaths were considered very sacred.
Right, of course.
In ancient Israel, they couldn't just break it.
You know,
it would bring divine punishment. However, they couldn't just let this deception just slide. Right.
Right. It put them in a real bind.
It did.
So what'd they do?
They cursed the Gibeonites.
Oh, wow.
To become hewers of wood and drawers of water.
Wow.
So basically, they would serve the Israelites, you know,
right,
doing menial tasks for the rest of their lives.
That's a harsh punishment. Although, you know, I wonder if maybe it was better than just being completely destroyed.
Yeah. I mean, it was a form of subjugation, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it did ensure their survival.
Right.
And it's really important to understand this punishment in its cultural context.
Mm.
So, for example, in the story of Jacob and Laban, we see Jacob serving Laban for 14 years in exchange for his daughters, you know, to marry his daughters.
Right.
And this act of service, it was demanding, of course, but it wasn't really seen as like degrading or, you know, inherently bad. It was just a part of social and economic exchange in that time.
Oh, that's a really good point. So service was seen differently back then than it is today.
Exactly. And so with the Gibeonites' fate seemingly sealed, you might think that's the end of their story, right?
Yeah, I would think so. What else is there?
But it's not. There's a twist.
Okay.
To find out, we need to fast forward about 1,000 years to the book of Nehemiah.
1,000 years? Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. I'm hooked. What happened?
Well, here's the surprise. We find them not just surviving, but fully integrated into the Israelite community.
Yeah.
They're helping rebuild the walls of Jerusalem alongside other Israelites.
Wow. That's really incredible. From being cursed to being right. part of rebuilding the very heart of the Israelite nation.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. And their inclusion doesn't even stop there.
Mm.
If you look at the list of people returning from the Babylonian exile in the book of Ezra,
yeah.
you find the Gibeonites mentioned among them. So they endured exile with the Israelites and returned to their shared homeland, you know, together.
It's amazing how a group that started, like, their relationship with the Israelites, you know, through deception ended up being such a key part of their society.
Yeah.
It really makes you think about the complexity of history and identity, you know.
It does. And you know, it makes you wonder, like, what was it like for the Gibeonites,
mm-hmm.
you know, to go from an independent people to this subjugated group? You know, forced into servitude.
Right, exactly. What were they thinking and feeling this whole time? I mean, I imagine there were some complicated emotions there.
Right. I mean, it's impossible to know their full internal experience.
Right.
But we can sort of glean some insight from the biblical narrative.
Okay.
So remember, they were listed as those who participated in the rebuilding of Jerusalem.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So it seems like there's a level of cooperation there.
Right.
Maybe even a shared sense of purpose.
Right. I mean, this whole story just brings up so many questions about forgiveness and acceptance. Like, did the Israelites, did they ever truly forgive the Gibeonites for that initial deception?
Right.
And did the Gibeonites find a sense of belonging in this new community?
Yeah, those are great questions to consider. And, you know, Dr. Howard, in his lectures, he emphasizes that the Gibeonite story is really one of both divine judgment and mercy.
Hmm.
You know, they face consequences for their actions, but they were also ultimately incorporated into the Israelite community, which speaks to the possibility of, you know, redemption.
Yeah.
And the complexities of God's relationship with those who follow him.
It's just so fascinating to see how this story, which, you know, started with a conflict fueled by deception, you know,
yeah.
it evolves into a narrative of assimilation and shared destiny. It's really something.
It really highlights how identity can shift and adapt over time.
Mm-hmm.
The Gibeonites, despite their, you know, Canaanite origins, ultimately became part of the Israelite story.
Mm-hmm.
And their integration really challenges us to think about how communities evolve mm-hmm. and how people who were once considered outsiders can, you know, eventually become insiders.
You know, it's easy to read this story and just, you know, focus on the Gibeonites' deception.
Right.
But I think it's important to remember they were acting out of desperation. You know,
yeah.
they were facing being wiped out.
Yeah.
And so their actions, I mean, even though they were morally questionable.
Right.
It was ultimately a means of survival for them.
That's a great point. You know, it's crucial to consider the context
yeah.
in which their actions took place.
Yeah.
It was a strategic response to a life or death situation.
Yeah.
And it forces us to, you know, think about these really difficult choices that people have to make when they're faced with those extreme circumstances.
Absolutely. And it reminds us to, you know, to be careful not to judge people.
Yeah.
Without understanding their motivations, you know.
Yeah.
And the pressures they might be facing.
Precisely. And Dr. Howard, you know, he brings up this fascinating point that the Gibeonites story, it can be seen as a reflection of the Israelites' own history.
Okay.
You know, they too were once these wandering nomads,
right?
Who, you know, had to fight for their survival,
right?
And navigate these really complex relationships with all these other groups of people.
Yeah. So they see themselves in the Gibeonites.
Yeah. There's a sense of shared experience there that survival requires, you know, compromise and strategic maneuvering.
So what can we learn from this, you know, this ancient story today? What's the takeaway for our lives?
Well, you know, for one, I think it really challenges us to think about how we perceive and treat those who are different from us. Mm. You know, the Gibeonites were initially seen as the enemy, you know.
Right.
A threat to the Israelite way of life.
Uh-huh.
But over time, that perception changed and they became accepted, you know, part of the community.
Yeah. It's a good reminder that our initial judgments about other people can be so wrong. You know,
yeah.
And sometimes even our greatest enemies can become our allies.
Exactly. And it prompts us to ask some tough questions like, how do we respond to those who are different than us?
Yeah.
You know, are we quick to judge and exclude, or are we open to understanding and acceptance?
Yeah. And it really makes you think about forgiveness and how important it is for building communities. You
right.
know, the Israelites, even though they were deceived, they chose to honor their oath
yeah.
and make the Gibeonites part of their society,
yeah.
which shows that, you know, forgiveness, even though it's hard, it can be a powerful voice for healing, you know?
Absolutely. Holding on to resentment and bitterness, it just divides us.
Yeah.
You know, forgiveness can actually pave the way for understanding and empathy.
Yeah.
And ultimately, a much more inclusive and harmonious society.
It's amazing how, you know, a story from thousands of years ago can still be so relevant today.
Yeah. It speaks to the power of these kinds of stories. You know, they offer this timeless wisdom and insights into, you know, the human condition.
Yeah.
And they remind us of, you know, how complex our relationships really are.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenges and possibilities that come with navigating a world, you know, full of so many different perspectives.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot to think about.
It is.
It does. It really does. It's like, wow. The Gibeonites were like the immigrants of their time, right?
Yeah.
Trying to find a place where they belong.
That's a great point. It shows that, you know, these ideas of inclusion and acceptance, they've always been a part of human history.
Yeah.
It's not just an ancient story.
Yeah. You know?
It reflects the struggle that we've always had,
right?
Trying to, you know, deal with people who are different from us.
Right, exactly. And trying to build communities where, you know, everyone feels like they belong. It's like we always talk about these things as if they're new problems. But the Gibeonites story shows us that, you know, people have been wrestling with these questions forever.
Yeah, for millennia.
Yeah.
It's a fundamental human experience.
Exactly.
Regardless of, you know, the time period or the culture.
It's really interesting, too, that, you know, at first, the Israelites, they reacted to the Gibeonites with so much fear, you know, and suspicion. They saw them as a threat, you know.
Right.
Which just shows you how fear can, you know, make us make bad decisions.
Oh, absolutely. Fear is such a powerful motivator.
Yeah.
But it can really cloud our judgment.
Yeah.
Like in this case, you know, the Israelites, they were so afraid that they didn't even stop to ask God what to do.
Right, right.
And so they ended up making this decision based only on, like, how things looked, you know, on the surface.
On appearances.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good warning to us.
Yeah.
To, you know, take a moment.
Yeah.
You know, step back.
Yeah.
And try to see things more clearly.
To get some wisdom.
Yeah. To not just react out of fear.
And, you know, one thing Dr. Howard talks about is that this Gibeonite story, it's not just about them and what they did and how they were accepted. It's also about the Israelites and their own, you know, growth.
Right.
And how they changed. Like, yeah. They had to face their own prejudices.
Yeah. Their biases.
Yeah.
Their fears.
Yeah. And in the end, they chose forgiveness.
They did. It's a really important point.
Yeah.
The Gibeonite story, it's not just about the other.
Right.
It's about how we respond to the other. You know, it's like it challenges us to look at ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, to really look inside and ask, are we willing to show grace, even to people who we think are different?
Right. Or even people we're afraid of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it reminds us that change is possible.
Right.
I mean, think about it. The Israelites, they were scared of the Gibeonites at first.
Yeah.
They didn't trust them. But eventually they came to accept them.
Yeah.
As part of their own community. So it shows us that, you know, we can change too.
Yeah.
And our communities can change.
And we can grow. As yeah. people.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, this whole story is, it's really hopeful in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it shows that even when things are messed up, even when there's conflict, you know, we can still come together.
Right. We can find understanding. We can build bridges.
Exactly.
Instead of walls.
Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect way to put it. And that's what I love about these ancient stories.
That's right.
They give us this wisdom, these insights into, you know, what it means to be human. And they remind us that, you know, at the end of the day, we're all in this together.
We are. We're more connected than we realize.
Yeah, exactly. It really does. It really makes you think about, like, immigration today.
Yeah.
And how we treat people who are different from us, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. The Gibeonites, they were kind of like the immigrants of their time.
Right, right. Trying to fit in.
Exactly. Seeking a place to belong in a culture that wasn't really theirs.
Right. It's like, you know, we often talk about these issues like immigration, social integration, as if they're new.
Yeah.
But this story shows us they've been around forever.
Oh, yeah. For millennia.
We've been dealing with these questions for like thousands of years.
It's a constant in human history, isn't it? This struggle to understand and accept people who are different, to figure out how we all fit together.
And it's so interesting how, like, the Israelites' first reaction to the Gibeonites was just fear.
Right.
Like they saw them as this immediate threat.
Yeah, fear can do that. It can make us act without thinking.
Exactly. And it can lead to, like, you know, bad decisions. Like in this case, the Israelites didn't even consult God. They reacted out of fear.
Exactly. And it just goes to show how important it is to, like, you know, take a breath when we're afraid.
Yeah.
And try to see things clearly.
Yeah. To get some perspective, not just react out of emotion.
And, you know, Dr. Howard, he pointed out something really interesting. He said the Gibeonite story, it's not just about their deception and then their integration. It's also about how the Israelites themselves had to change and grow.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right? Like they had to confront their own prejudices, their own fears, and then choose forgiveness. Choose to include the Gibeonites.
So it's not just about how we treat others. It's about how we change ourselves.
Exactly. It's like this story is a challenge to all of us to look inside and ask, you know, are we willing to show grace? Even to people who we might see as different, as a threat.
Yeah, that's powerful.
It's a reminder that we all have the potential to change, to grow.
Yeah.
The Israelites did, and so can we, and so can our communities.
It's actually really hopeful. Like, even though this story starts with deception and conflict,
yeah,
it ends with reconciliation and a sense of shared community.
It shows us that even when things seem really divided, we can still find a way to come together and to see each other's humanity.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thought. Well, I think that about wraps up our deep dive into the story of the Gibeonites. And what a story it is, right?
It really is. Full of a twist and turns.
Deception, fear, forgiveness, it's all there.
You know, it's a story that still speaks to us today. It challenges us to think about how we treat those who are different from us, to examine our own hearts, and to choose compassion over fear.
Yeah, and to remember that our shared humanity is far greater than the things that divide us. So, thanks for joining us on this journey. I hope it's given you something to think about, maybe even spark some new insights into your own life.
And who knows, maybe even inspired you to build some bridges of your own.